Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more, it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, around the world. And also to welcome to the program four clever, ingenious, talented, humorous characters who are going to try and speak on a subject that I give them and show their verbal dexterity and ingenuity. And they'll try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Marcus Brigstock and Jenny Eclair. Will you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me with the score. She will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed, and this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Playhouse Theatre in that fine cathedral city of Salisbury. Jenny, will you begin it with family values? That is the subject. There are 60 seconds available, and you start now.
I don't think my family have any values. They certainly don't value yours truly. In fact, they've got a curfew out against me. I'm not allowed back in my house.
Paul challenged.
Can you have a curfew out against you? Is there a curfew against you?
Well, the curfew's out.
They have taken one out against me.
How can they take a curfew out?
They went to the police and they got one out.
Do the police just handle out curfews that you can go along? You can probably get them at the post office, can you?
Yeah.
I think, Paul, that we all knew what she meant.
Yeah.
And I think I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, you can have a curfew out against you, Jenny. And you have 51 seconds on family values starting now.
Yes, I'm not allowed to live where I live. Oh, dear.
And then if that happens, you stop the flow and the next time you repeat something. Paul, you challenge
repetition
first.
Of live.
Yes,
sadly.
And you have 48 seconds, Paul. I have a point there for a correct challenge. Take over the subject of family values and you start now.
Family values are, of course, exactly set by the family that has the values. If we look at the Munster family, a popular children's television programme in the 1960s, we saw that the head of the household was Frankenstein's monster. The grandfather was a kind of vampire, Dracula-like figure, and I seem to remember there was a small boy called Butch who was a werewolf. Now, the particular comedy of this show revolved around the fact that although these people looked very strange, they actually behaved in a very normal fashion and couldn't understand why the rest of society...
Clement challenged.
Repetition of show. I let him go on a bit.
Yes, you did say this particular show, and right at the beginning you mentioned The Munsters, which was a show. Mm. Right, Clement, you listened well. You have the subject of of family values. 18 seconds available, starting now.
I have a wife, 5 children, and 16 grandchildren. Let me try and give you a valuation, although I haven't very recently gone to anyone for a new assessment. My wedded...
Paul challenged.
Well, it was a long I thought it was a bit of a sort of hesitation.
I think there was a definite hesitation, Paul. Mm. So you have the subject back. Family values, Paul. 4 seconds, starting now.
I remember the first time I went to my secondary school and people looked at the blazer I was wearing and they said, well, you obviously come from a very poor family indeed.
In this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point. It was Paul Merton, so he's got a strong lead at the end of the round. Marcus Brigstock, will you take the next round or start
yes.
the next round? The subject is gadgets. Mm. Tell us something about gadgets in this game, starting now.
I'm a big fan of a gadget. In fact, I used my sat-nav to drive here from London this evening, which is why we arrived in Salisbury by way of Aberdeen. But nonetheless, I use all the oh, no!
Jenny, your challenge.
He used the word use twice. Use, yeah. use.
Yes,
use
and that's why he hesitated. Right.
Plus my tongue unraveled.
Yeah, that's weird when you do that.
So, Jenny, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. There are 48 seconds available. Gadgets starting now.
I am not a gadget girl. Women can do most things with a nail file and some tweezers. Can't be doing with having to read...
Marcus challenged.
If a woman has, say, an ingrowing toenail, though, or something like that, that's not really something that a woman can do with just a nail file, is it? I mean, most of them would be inclined to bite them off, wouldn't they?
I will admit, on national radio, I have gouged my own foot with my mouth.
Have you?
Yes. I've self-harmed. I've bitten my own toenails.
But Jenny, taking at face value that challenge, you couldn't put up a shelf with a pair of nail file and tweezers.
Why would I have to?
Because you said...
Nicola!
Well, no, but you...
Look at me!
You made a statement saying you could do pretty well anything with a bill, and woman could do pretty well anything with a nail file and tweezers.
Now you're confusing me.
Yes.
I could put up a shelf in a doll's house with some tweezers.
Oh, don't let's go down that room.
No.
I think, in other words, all I'm saying is Marcus' challenge is, I think, actually correct. In other words, he has the benefit of the doubt. If I get a chance to redress the balance later, I will do so.
You.
And it's gadgets back with you, Marcus, and there are 41 seconds available starting now.
Some of the gadgets in my house never get used at all. For example, I've got a record player that's supposed to turn the music that I have on vinyl disc into things that I can play through my computer. Unfortunately, I don't know how it works. I paid for it, and that was a good thing, I suppose, but it sat on the shelf for the last 2 years, and I feel a little bit ashamed, seeing as I begged my wife for one for about 3 years.
Jenny challenged.
Two fours.
Yes, there were two falls, right.
Yes.
So you got back in, you see, Jenny.
Right, yeah.
And you got back in with 15 seconds to go. The subject is gadgets, starting now.
Can't be doing with the fact everything needs recharging. Every single sock... Oh, no!
Full charge.
No, I don't know, actually. Did she say everything and every?
She said everything and every. Mm. Everything is a word.
Yes, that's right. So that's what I was buzzing for, but...
I know. Buzzing for the every. So, Jenny, got another point? 10 seconds starting now.
My mobile phone is as gadgetry technological as I can get. Sometimes I pick it up thinking it's the television remote control. Point it at the box saying, come on, turn over.
So Jenny Eclair was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and she's gone forward into the lead just ahead of Paul Merton, and then Marcus Brigstock and Clement Freud follow.
One foul.
Is that your mother or your daughter?
That's the man who's prepared to put shelves up for me.
Clement Freud, will you begin the next round? The subject is my party trick. Tell us something about it, if you... you have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
My best party trick, which I used to play with my older brother, was for both of us to go into a room, each with a bottle of whiskey. And when we had finished our beverage, one of us went out and knocked on the door, and the other had to guess who it was.
Oh, what a brilliant story. Right. You were challenged, naturally, Clement, but I think you're quite happy to be challenged because you got the big laugh, a brilliant story. We'll give you a bonus point for that because we really enjoyed the story. But, Marcus, you challenged.
Yes, I did. I want to know who was there.
You can have a bonus point for that, but you haven't got a serious challenge.
Serious challenge was there was a hesitation.
With hesitation, right. So, Marcus, you have 39 seconds still available, and the subject is my party trick, starting now.
My party trick is the impression that I can do of Clement Freud. It isn't exactly...
And, Clement, you challenged. I wonder why.
Repetition.
Of why? And what is your repetition in this show?
I speak like that.
He does, he speaks like that. Then you speak like that, he speaks like that.
It was like an echo.
But actually, it wasn't a repetition of anything within the rules of just a minute. So, Clement, no, we enjoyed your interruption. So Clement gets a bonus point for that. And, Marcus, you get a point because you were interrupted. Yes, that's right. And you have my party trick still, and 34 seconds starting now.
My party trick at university was to stand on a table and pull both of the pockets of my trousers out and then undo my fly and see if anyone thought it looked anything like an elephant. Unfortunately, I was knocked off the table on several occasions and...
Jenny, you've challenged.
Challenging on two fronts. It didn't look like an elephant at all, and he said table twice.
Yeah, yes, he did, indeed. I thought you were going to challenge him for boasting. Jenny, You have a correct challenge. You have a point. You have 19 seconds. And the subject is my party trick, starting now.
My party trick used to be putting both legs round the back of my neck. Can't do it anymore. These days, what I do at parties is disappear, as if in a puff of smoke. Can't bear being at places where you're meant to have so much fun, etc. So what I do is I get the night bus home. I'm in bed by 11. That's
Jenny Clare was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and she's now increased her lead ahead of Marcus Brigstock, Clement Freud and Paul Merton in that order. And now, the next subject that's come up is tautology, Paul, and it's your turn to begin, so will you begin on tautology, 60 seconds, starting now.
The only ology I was taught at school was biology, and I suppose I know a little bit about the birds and the bees and the bison and the unicorn, and these various stories filtered through my young scholastic brain. I wasn't very good at the other sciences. Oh, no, I did sociology as well, but that's not really one of those things I just mentioned. I wrote up an essay about a Horizon documentary I'd seen on the radio. And I hadn't seen it on the radio.
Marcus, a challenge.
Well, it was a small deviation, in as much as he saw something.
But not only a small deviation, I think it was a complete deviation because he never mentioned anything about tautology. Every other kind of ology, but not tautology.
That is tautilegious.
I was tautilegious by nuns. Does that count? Does that count at all?
So, Marcus, a correct challenge. You have a point for that, of course. You have 38 seconds. Tautology starting now.
I'm beginning to wish that I'd never buzzed on account of I'm not entirely clear what a tautology is. However, I think that...
Paul Charles.
Well, I know exactly what it is. I mean, if you hadn't buzzed me, I could have told everybody here exactly what tautology is. I'm an expert on the subject.
Well, why didn't you tell them before?
I bet he just remembered it.
32 seconds, tautology, Marcus, starting now.
My understanding of it is that you say more or less the same thing twice, which makes it a very fitting subject for just a minute, although it does make it very difficult for me, particularly given that I'm not totally certain that that's actually the right definition of it. However, if I were to say to you...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of say.
Say, you have to say before, yes. Paul, you have now got tautology. Tell us all about it. You say you know. 17 seconds, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons, National Treasure. That would be saying the same thing twice, because when we look at our esteemed chairman, we think to himself, surely there must be a field somewhere in England we can put him. Dig him up, bury down on the ground, and in time, he will come along in 500 years' time and say, oh, I don't know what it is, Tony, but he's wearing a striped blazer.
Well, yes. Well, I don't know whether I'll be wearing a striped blazer or not when I go underground, but anyway, you're... Paul, you were speaking as a whistle went, again, that extra point. You move forward, you're one behind Marcus and two behind our leader, Jenny Eclair. And so I don't want letters for people telling me as if I didn't know. Tautology is when you say, express something, not repeating it, but you express the same thing in different terms or phrases or different words.
Right. Could you give us an example?
Yes.
David Blaine.
No, wait a minute, I've got one for you. Yeah. They followed one by one in quick succession.
I see.
You see?
Somebody's saying no over here.
Is that
he
right?
He returned his library books back to the library.
Yes.
Is that one?
That is a bit of tautology. What?
No, that's not tautology.
Yes.
Is this a coach party?
No, it's expression.
In this moment in time.
No, that's just a ghastly English.
Isn't it ghastly?
No, it's a case of expressing the same thing in two different words or phrases. So,
yes.
That's we like it. That's the best one.
I'm a bit niff now. I thought mine was quite good.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Nicholas.
That's right. It doesn't matter. Jenny, it's your turn to begin, or we'd like you to begin. The subject we'd like you to start with now. Oh, what a lovely subject. Oscar Wilde. Tell us something about that great man in this time available, starting now.
Oscar Wilde was born in Dublin, didn't make old bones, died younger than me. That's tragic. He wrote many things, including poems, plays, books. Most importantly, you will remember the importance of being earnest.
Marcus remembered.
Hmm? Yeah, no, it was the wrong
important
challenge.
Important.
Important and importantly.
Yeah,
yes.
I know. I tried to trick you.
Yes, and you did.
Yeah, that was my good trick.
Yeah, yes. Jenny, incorrect challenge. You have another point. You have Oscar Wilde. You have 45 seconds starting now.
A handbag? Oh, please give me that part. It's about time. A picture of Dorian Gray. That's a good one. He wasn't gay, you know, but apparently he was married.
Clement Foyd challenge.
He was gay.
Yes. I'm afraid, well, that's why he went to prison.
Yes, but he was happily married as well and had two children. So do you not think he was bi? Bi?
A sexual tautology,
yeah. He could do that as well.
The fact that he was gay doesn't prevent him also being married and having a family. So Clement is correct. Oh. And so he has the point. 33 seconds, Oscar Wilde, Clement, starting now.
In John Betjeman's poem about his arrest, Mr. Wilde, we have come for to take you to where felons and criminals dwell, and we hope, sir, that you will come quietly, because this is the Cadogan Hotel. I think the most interesting thing that Oscar Wilde said was, approval of what is approved of is as false as a well-kept vow. I mean, he did write wonderful things. He was brilliant. He was homosexual.
Marcus, challenge.
Yes, a challenge on deviation. I'm not sure that he was brilliant. I mean, No, I'll tell you why. Wait a minute, Radio 4.
There'll be letters.
Relax.
Wait a minute, what do you think this programme's called?
And with the greatest respect, Marcus, you know, this isn't a discussion programme.
No.
You have 5 seconds. You can now tell us, within just a minute, why you think he wasn't great. Starting now.
Oscar Wilde challenged Lord Queensberry to a fight. Now, this was the man who invented boxing.
Clement challenged.
It's a deviation.
Why?
He didn't challenge Lord Queensberry to a fight.
No, it was the other way around.
And Lord Queensberry didn't invent boxing?
No.
Yeah, but other than that, how was it?
Oh, bless you.
Other than that, it was good.
The rules of boxing weren't named after the Marquess of Queensberry, but he didn't challenge. It was the other way around.
He wasn't even a lord either. He was Marquess.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well. If you get 3 in 1 4-second section, do you get back in somehow?
Clement's got the subject from 1 second ago. Oscar Wilde starting now.
Oscar Wilde has a son called Vivian.
So, Clement Freud was speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. It's very, very close here. In fact, only one point separates them all in ascending order. It's Paul, Clement, Marcus, Jenny.
Am there I winning?
You're in the winner. You're in the lead, my Marcus, will you begin the next round? The subject is spring clean. Tell us something about that distressing subject, starting now.
One of the hardest things about cleaning a spring is getting the cloth caught on one of the coils. However, to clean...
Jenny challenged.
Two wands, one of the springs.
One of the springs, yes. One of the most difficult things.
Sorry, Marcus, but I'm out to win this one.
Spring clean, Jenny. You've got another point, you're the subject, and there are 55 seconds available starting now.
You've got to get yourself organised, starting with bin liners. Tidy round the house, take a load of rubbish down to the charity shop, pop to the supermarket, get your basics, cloths, polishes, bleaches, etc. Come home, change in something that you don't mind getting grease all over, because you will have to do the cooker and the airing cupboard. Don't let yourself get distracted.
Paul challenge.
Deviation. There shouldn't be grease in the airing cupboard.
You haven't seen my airing cupboard.
Well, it's deviation if you've got grease in your airing cupboard.
No, as I understood
it... Oh, you've got grease in your airing cupboard, have you, Nicholas?
No.
Oh, haven't you?
Well, there might be. There might be some on the hinges.
Yes.
The point is, I understood it was quite clear. There was grease on the cooker. Yeah. Of course she hasn't got grease in her airing cupboard.
Only
she did, though, didn't it?
No, she had to keep going with the rules of just a minute, and there was a lot of pressure on. The other three are waiting to come in
excellent
and challenge.
Excellent chairman. Best one we've got.
It's the only one you've got.
Guess what I mean.
But I'll give the benefit of the doubt. Jenny, you still have the subject.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Spring clean, 31 seconds, starting now.
It's so easy to get sidetracked in your study reading old love letters. I've got boxes of those. Hours upon days spent on my knees.
Marcus challenge.
Yes, deviation. I mean, I know Jenny's talking about deviating from spring cleaning, but it's still basically a deviation, isn't it?
Well, yes, because you don't spring clean your love letters. I mean, you read those.
I blow the dust off them.
No. I gave you the benefit of the doubt last time. Marcus, you've got it this time. Spring Clean is back with you, Marcus, and the 21 seconds starting now.
I cleaned out my shed the other day. It was full of the most useless things, including a record player that I made my wife buy for me, and I've never really worked out how to use the blasted thing. I also found a man that we employed 6 years ago. His name's Keith, and he was taken on as a gardener. He died, sadly, and there he was sitting...
Paul Chance.
There was quite a few he's.
Yes, a lot of he's there. So
yeah, we couldn't help but giggle when we saw him.
Paul, you've got him with 3 seconds to go. Spring Clean starting now.
When spring comes, I open up the windows of the house, I get the windoline in my hand, and I spray it.
So they're still very close point-wise. Clement is now in fourth place, one behind Paul, and he's one behind Marcus, and Marcus is one behind Jenny Eclair, and we go now over to Clement Floyd to begin. Clement, oh, this is an interesting subject. What frightened me as a child? Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I think what frightened me most as a child was Nicholas Parsons. He and I went to school together, and there was nothing about him, just terrifying to look at, to listen to.
Jenny, you've challenged.
Two twos. And anyway, you weren't scary at all. You're a sweet little golden-haired child.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, it's still up.
I can't give bonus points for this, even though I'd like to.
And the producer told me it was best to keep you sweet during the show.
Jenny, 45 seconds. What frightened me as a child, starting now?
Snakes under the bed, my parents separating, which they never got round to, and them finding out how badly I'd done in my maths exercise book. Remember when there was parent-teacher evening, and I ripped a page out because I got 0 out of 10? I was so scared because they were really worried about something that was wrong with my brother, and he was fine in the end. But anyway, I thought, they don't need any more worry. I'm going to rip this page out.
Marcus challenged.
Two worries.
Yeah,
two
but worries, look at me. I'm rocking. This is a real challenge. Childhood trauma thing.
All right, Jenny.
I ripped up the page and I tried to flush it down the toilet and it wouldn't go, and I had to get it out of the toilet and I buried it in the back garden. I got so upset. I was just trying to spare them.
My darling, what a tortured youth you must have
had. I
know. Oh, dear.
I'm glad Marcus has taken that off me because I was getting a bit upset.
You were going very, very fast as well.
Yeah.
Marcus, you had a correct challenge. You have a point. You have 24 seconds. What frightened me as a child, starting now?
What frightened me as a child was the idea of being expelled for a fourth time, because I thought that my parents really wouldn't cope with that. The first one was for setting fire to the goalposts on a football pitch. I didn't enjoy the game, and so I thought with only a thing at one end...
Clement challenged?
Hesitation.
Yes, the definite there. Clement, we're back with you. What frightened me as a child? 9 seconds still available, starting now.
Lessons were very frightening. History, geography, algebra. And I think what was particularly frightening was the fact that one learned huge things one had no use for.
So, Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point and he's moved forward, but he's still in third place, but it's all very, very close. And actually, we're moving into the final round. You are lovely here in Salisbury. Let me give the situation. Paul, for once, is trailing. He's in fourth place, but only 1 point behind Clement Freud. And he's 3 points behind Marcus Brigstock. And 4 behind Jenny Eclair. Jenny's in the lead, 1 ahead of Marcus, and Clement done that all on. Right, let's start the last round. Paul, we're back with you. The subject is a battle axe. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it's a rather old-fashioned sexist term, I suppose, for a dominant older woman. The actress Peggy Mount used to specialise theatrically in playing battle axes in several farces in the 1950s. She would be the mother-in-law or eventually the hero's best friend and would shout from the rooftops and demand to know why things weren't being done in the way that she wanted them to. If we look at the comedian Les Dawson, he used to specialise in playing female roles, often taken from the stereotype of Norman Evans, who was a very popular music hall act in the 1940s and 50s.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of 19.
1940s? Oh. I said 1940s and 50s.
Yes, you did.
I did?
Yes, and the audience were listening.
Yeah, just as well somebody is, isn't it?
Paul, an incorrect challenge.
Oh, thank you very much. How did you arrive by such a wise decision?
Yes. You've still got a battle axe, and 27 seconds are starting now.
If you go to battle in East Sussex, where the great battle took place, you will find an axe buried in the field. The guides will say to you, come through, half price for children, full for adults. And as you walk towards the epicentre of this great fight, you see it lying there, the handle is sticking out of the ground.
Marcus challenged.
I think it's a repetition of ground.
Everybody's asleep. Who knows? Everybody's sitting there stunned. I don't care. Just blow the whistle. Just get this bloke off. Who knows? In the name of God, say yes and give it to somebody else. Because we haven't got a clue.
The thing is, Paul, that we were also carried away with the dramatic way in which you were presenting it and all the gestures that went with it.
Yes.
I think we weren't concentrating on the words quite so much.
No. That's a good way of putting it.
Yes.
It was so good we all fell asleep.
So, Marcus gets a point for correct challenge. Paul, you started with a subject. Why don't you finish with a subject? You've still got 6 seconds to go. A battle axe starting now.
If I ask you now to think of the great battles that lie ahead, we must each have our axe. We must hold it up to the sky and wave it above our head.
Well, now it's time to give you the final score. And, oh, what a fair result. Clement has done so well whenever he's appeared, but he finished in fourth place. It was a brilliant fourth place because he was only two behind the one in second place. And the one in second place was Paul Merton, who was often out there in the lead. And he was only one behind. Behind?
It's caught on that Wiltshire accent, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, I'll finish in a Wiltshire accent then. He was only one behind, or two people over in the lead there.
No, Wiltshire.
No, Wiltshire. Okay. I'm more Gloucestershire. I realise that because my mother's family come from that.
Nicholas, who won?
What?
Who won?
A very fair result. We have equal winners, Marcus Brigstocke and Jenny Eclair. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It remains me to thank our four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Marcus Brigstocke, and Clement Freud. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such aplomb when the time was up. And we thank our producer, Tolusha Gilani, and we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And finally, we're indebted to this lovely audience here in this fine city of Salisbury, who've cheered us on our way at the Playhouse Theatre. So from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and our panel, goodbye. Thank you for listening. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Yeah.